Kali Netter. Hopefully we'll be Messiah Simon Sadidal tonight. My Rokam is ready to roll. Simon Sadivav. We are nearing the close or the climax of the verbal flowchart, which as we've seen even clearer in the tour than the Shulchan Aruch, the Simon Sadidal, is a verbal flowchart. We're sort of sorting out different scenarios of fumbles in the kitchen. And we sort of worked out, we've been working our way through from the beginning of the siman up until this point. They're different, tweaking different variables. First is a question of whether there's shishim or not. That was the opening topic. How you mishar shishim? Is there shishim? Isn't shishim? One dip, two dips, all the details of shishim. And then we moved on to the second variable. So we're working our way up the flowchart. Ben Yomo versus Eni Ben Yomo. And then the last time, we worked our way into tweaking yet another larger factor. That was the Sivav, which is up until that point, the first four or five Sifim were about the Tochev Kli. You have the vehicle that's bringing, let's say, the milchik flavor into the otherwise fleishik pot was a milchik Kli. A Kav Cholev is Bekedere Shalbasa. In Sivav, we started talking about Habaf instead of dipping in a milchik kli, dipping in a ladle with the blia of milchik tam. Instead, you're dipping in food with a blia of milchik tam or a blia of fleishik tam into a milchik pot. The tochev ochel, essentially, the betzalim, the irakas blue mivasa, that was sifav. So those are three different variables that we've one by one been knocking down. Is there betel b'shish or not? Is there ben yama in ben yama? And what's the vehicle that's conveying the wrong flavor into this pot? Is it a kli or is it food? And now finally here, we come in Siv Zayin.
Do you mind if we go back to the idea of the, I think, because I know the Shulchan Aruch didn't really describe it, but the Shach goes into very depth about the Mi'eis La'eis restarting the clock or not restarting the clock aspect.
Sure.
We touched on the Shach last week. If I remember correctly, right? Because the smock, because he quotes the smock.
Yeah.
So, like, when do you restart the 24 hours? When do you not restart the 24 hours? It was very confusing from the Shah.
Sure.
I'm sorry for interrupting.
No, it's okay.
About when the time restarts or doesn't restart, and why it wouldn't restart for those who don't say it doesn't restart.
Sure. You could definitely start by with Chazar if you'd like. So just that is an important issue, the restarting the clock. So what emerged last time is essentially there is a long shach, that is true, based on the quote the Torah has from Abedu Baruch. And what we saw is that we paskin that you restart the Eino Ben Yomo, the Ben Yomo clock, if you restart the Ben Yomo clock. Again, let's define our terms. There was a blia into the kli Monday night. We were making supper. If I don't use the kli again until Wednesday morning, so then the Monday night blia, it went into the kli on a Monday night. It emerges on Wednesday morning. That's more than 24 hours. Not only do you see some Balei Tosfos said that Ben Yomo means it didn't have Linas Laila. We don't paskin that way. We paskin for a full 24 hours. It's Ben Yomo, but from Monday night to Wednesday morning is more than 24 hours. So that is L'chal Deos. Offhand, L'chal Deos should be in Eino Ben Yomo. And we'll get in Mitzvah Shem, perhaps as early as next week, to Simon Sarivav. We'll see that there are rare exceptions where Eino Ben Yomo B'liya matters, such as in Tavar Harf, but nine times out of ten, Eino Ben Yomo B'liya is creates an Isser Drabbanan of Hishtamshus, Isser Lachatchilim and Drabbanan of Hishtamshus, but it's not going to impact any other Kli or any food. However, there is a way that the Bliya from Monday night could still be alive and active Bliya, Ben Yomo Bliya on Wednesday morning, and that's if it got restarted. I restarted the clock Tuesday lunchtime. Now, how do you restart the clock Tuesday lunchtime? So that's what the post can talk about. Let's say I used it for something neutral on Tuesday. So let's say I used it for, I accidentally, let's say the fellow put in the milchik ladle, milchik spatula into a fleshik pot, a chmalathlon on Monday night. That was an accident, and there wasn't shishim, there was a ben yamo, so it became treif. So by Monday night there was a bli of tarfus into the ladle. So now ladle is treif. Treif, and can make treif for the next 24 hours. On Tuesday day, I use the ladle with something neutral. Eggs, parva eggs. So now when I probably made the eggs treif, unless there was shishim, the eggs can get the ladle. And we would assume that now the blia in the ladle got a new lease on life. And now the clock restarted Tuesday lunch, so when you get to Wednesday morning, it's going to be the blia went, the bas b'chal of the blia went on Tuesday lunchtime out of the ladle into the eggs, then back, the eggs became treif. It wasn't batel b'shishim, so then not only did the eggs become treif, they retreifed the ladle. And now the clock starts again until Wednesday lunchtime. So if you use the ladle a third time Wednesday morning, they'll make that potentially treif also, again, unless you have shishim. However, that's only true if the ladle, the blia restart, the ben yomo clock restarts when you use it a second time, when it's used within 24 hours for neutral items. That's only if the initial blia was iser. It was chaylev or it was bas b'chalav, like you said. But if the initial blia was merely milchik or merely fleishik, I have a power of a kli, and I accidentally use it for milchik on Monday night. Or I have a milchik a kli, and I use it for milchik on Monday night. What am I supposed to do? So now then I accidentally use this milchik, stuck this milchik kli into fleishik on a Wednesday morning. So now the shayla is it ben yomo, ben yomo? So the fact that, so that's going to be an ein ben yomo, even if I use the ladle for parav on Tuesday. If I use the ladle for milchik on Tuesday, okay, so obviously Wednesday morning it's ben yomo. The last time I used it for milchik was on Monday night, even though I did use it for something, and something hot, that there was a transfer of flavor, but that doesn't, if it was merely milchik or fleishik on Monday night and not treif, there's no Easter, so teira bala, so then there is not going to be any restarting of the clock with power of a flute. And that we saw sort of two cognate ways to think about it. To think about it in terms of the difference between napanata etera and napanata sura. Alternatively, to think in terms of Hanan. And min haTorah, Hanan is, it goes back to some Sadi days. The min haTorah Hanan is. In haTorah we say Hanan only by bas b'chalav. We follow Machlokes Ben Ephraim and Yotam. We follow where Ben Yotam that there is Hanan b'shari surim, but midrabanan. But it's only if it's shari surim. But there's no Hanan on heter. So even Ben Yotam agrees. So in other words, if I have a milchik kli and I. Or if I have a blia of milchik into parav, and then I take a scoop of that, made broccoli, let's say, with a little bit of milk, and then, or I made it with a little bit of grated Parmesan cheese, and it's totally dissolved into the broccoli. Or I have broccoli soup, with a little bit of Parmesan cheese, totally dissolved. So if I take a scoop, I'm sorry. That's true. Okay, hachem ayaski and kasher broccoli. So it has to be kosher Parmesan cheese also. Okay. Kosher pot. Everything has to be kosher. So, but now it's the milchik. So let's say, so if there was so little Parmesan cheese, as batel b'shishim, so the soup's parav. If it wasn't batel b'shishim, I put in a thick layer of Parmesan. So it has a milchik flavor. But if I take a scoopful of that soup and I pour it into the broccoli soup and it falls into a big pot of chicken soup, so I don't need shishim in the chicken soup against all the broccoli soup. I just need shishim against the Parmesan shabbat, which there probably will be. Why? Because you don't say that the whole broccoli soup became a shtick milchik. You don't say chaticha nasas nevela beheter. You only say chaticha nasas nevela be iser. So you think about naparnata heter, you can think about chanan, you don't say chanan by heter. Again, and all that ultimately relates back, as Rajma pointed out, to the sugya ayin vav amud aleph, Avodah Zarah, that talks about Heter Bala versus Yisur Bala. There it's in a somewhat different context, but it's a, perhaps related. That was that... let's leave that alone. That's really not quite the same. But anyway, so that's why the clock, you can restart the clock by putting it into something neutral if the initial tom that you're dealing with is a tom esser. If the initial tom you're dealing with is a tom mutter, it's just a question of milchik versus power, fleishik versus power, then it does not restart. And then we spoke last time also at the chametz. Chametz is a machlokas tosis Ramban, whether you consider it to be chametz kodesh or pesach, chametz acharp. Chametz b'pesach obviously is isur bala in the worst way possible. But the chametz kodesh on pesach, so that's a machlokas tosis Ramban, whether you consider it to be heter bala or isur bala. The reason it matters is not so much for cheshbonos. Well, it could matter for cheshbonos of ben yomo and ben yomo. Really, it's a different aspect of the core question of Chanan, which is when you kasher the pot, you need shishim or any benyomo. We are machmir. We let the chametz kelim, even kodem pesach, we let the chametz kelim sit for more than 24 hours before you kasher. That's why usually it's helpful to kasher the milchi. It's easy to kasher the milchi sink usually on Matzah Shabbos, right? Because milchi sink has been used for hot anything, not even if you make sure you don't even use it for hot water b'chol. No, why? Why? Because if you won't have an ben yomo, if it's not a ben yomo, you don't have shishim. When you're kashrin a sink, there's no shishim. So why the flavors in the toastus is question? Flavor is going to go out into the water, it'll bounce back in. That's at least in part. Again, that's what we're seeing here. That's rooted in a concern of Chanan, lich ora. So if it would be a tama mutter, it wouldn't be such an issue. But we consider chametz kodesh pesach to say ready have a chal shem. We consider it to be isur bala. So that's why we would demand anyone yom. That's the other nafkamina in all this is if a par of a kli became fleishik, became milchik accidentally, and you're kasher and it back to par, you can do that immediately. Usually you have to put something inside for 24 hours before you kasher, so that you don't have the problem of it, the flavor bouncing into the hagala water right back in. So you need either shishim or ebenyomo, and ebenyomo is a lot more practical. But if it's only heter bala, it's why you make it par of instead of milchik, so then you could immediately clean it, and you could kasher it right away without shishim or ebenyomo. So that's the stop clock. Okay.
The
pot that you kasher, right? You want to kasher? Oh, no, actually, because that would just be maybe because it's simultaneous. Maybe
to kasher multiple parts.
Yeah.
So if it's not even Mayomo and it's no Sinkum Bishvach, then why is it not just Milchik coming back into the pot?
Yeah, so the answer is the Milchik comes. Right now I have a knife, let's say. I accidentally use the power of a knife for hot Milchik. Someone in the house grabbed the hot knife to cut the grilled cheese. And now the power of a knife all of a sudden, hot knife? Someone grabbed the power of a knife to cut the hot grilled cheese, and now all of a sudden the power of a knife is power of no longer. Right? So I want a kasher. So what's going to happen? Right now, I say, look, right now, that knife is saturated inside with tam challah. I'm going to stick the knife, after I clean the surface, I'm going to stick the knife into boiling hot water, so that's going to extract flavor. Now the milchik flavor is roaming around in the water. And then what am I worried about?
But aren't we worried that it's going to come back in?
So in a hanami, maybe it will, but that's a not by not by not teira. If you have shishim, so that's another issue. If you have shishim, so then it's batel shishim. Even if not batel shishim, even if it's not even yomo, but it's a not by not by not teira. So I should be in the clear. Okay. Okay, so now let's. So far up until this point, the first six seifim here we're again, so Baruch Hashem, we had a chance to put some pieces together just now, dealing with the questions of Shishin versus not, dealing with the questions of Ben Yomo versus Ein Ben Yomo. Again, the complexity of how you determine that, the complexity of how you determine Shishin. And then what Siv Vav introduced, Siv Vav was a vehicle, no pun intended, for raising the question of how you think about Ben Yomo and Ben Yomo restarting the clock. But what officially was about was thinking about if the flavor is introduced with another food. Okay. And now, in Siv Zayin, we finally tweak the fourth variable. Because the one variable that hasn't changed yet is your, the locus of contact is inside a pot. You have tochev the kaf into the big pot, small pot, shishim, no shishim. Tochev a ben yomo ladle into the pot. Tochev a ben yomo ladle into the pot. Tochev a ladle into the pot. Tochev food into the pot. But it's always been with betocha kedera. Now, for the first time, we talk about we're letting go of the pot. Now we're out in the open. Instead of having a pot of liquid, we have a solid piece that's potless. And let's see how that works out. And that's the question of, instead of a fleshik a pot with a milchik a ladle, I have a hot steak. And I'm slicing the meat with a hot milchik knife. Now again, from a culinary perspective, often you don't want to necessarily, I'm not the expert here. I imagine many of you are greater grill masters than I, and that's not saying much. Many of you sort of talk are greater grill masters. I think it's a culinary discussion whether how hot you want the meat to be or how cold you want the meat to be when you slice it. Whether a good idea or bad idea from a culinary perspective, lamaisa, you cut the hot meat with a milchika knife. You stuck a milchika fork into the hot meat. So now what? So now the Shulchan Aruch says, if the knife is a ben yomo, and the knife is big enough, the meat is small enough, the yomo of shishim, you're toast. Treif. The milchik knife spreads its milchik flavor into the hot meat, and if it knows shishim and oem ben yomo, you have a problem. And that does work well with, offhand, with one gemara in Chulin, but it's going to run afoul of another gemara in Chulin. It works well with the gemara from a parak that we are comfortable with. That's Kuf Yud Aleph on Beis. As a matter of fact, that's an amud that we've spent a fair amount of time on. Kuf Yud Aleph on Beis. We spent a lot of time, the bottom half, or the bottom third of Kuf Yud Aleph on Beis is the sugi of Naparnat. And the very, very bottom, the last line or two, is going to be the beginning of the sugi of Davar Charif, which we'll come to in there soon. But towards the top of Kuf Yud Aleph of the days, the Gemara says, 5-6 lines off the top of Kuf Yud Aleph of the days, Maseches Chulin, Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, Sakin Sheshochet Ba Asr Lachtov Ba Rotzeach. You have a knife with which you've used for a Shechita knife. You have a Shechita knife. You have a shechita knife, it's been bolea blood, so you're not allowed to use that knife to cut a hot piece of kosher meat. Okay. So that fits with what the Shulchan Aruch says. That's where we're concerned. You cut hot meat with a treifa knife, or whatever, hot meat with a milchik knife, it's going to be a problem. So you look at Kuf Yud Aleph, okay. The problem is you take a look back at Daf Ches Amud Beis. This takes us back to the first parak of Chulin, which is about shechita. As you already noticed in that line, a member of Shmuel, when you're dealing with knives, and including treifa knives, often the story may begin in a shechita context. Now, this is a very fascinating gemara near the top of Ches Amud Beis. It actually is, we made reference to this gemara, I think, a while back, Siman Sadi Alf, Siman Sadi Beis, and then it came up more recently also, or maybe in Siman Sadi Hey, where he's talking about Yad Sol Ezbo. The definition of hot, halacha Yad Sol Ezbo, I think we mentioned a couple weeks ago, that's a wide range of shitos in terms of what that translates into in degrees, Fahrenheit, Celsius. One of the gemaras in that discussion, especially one of the gemaras that drives the lower shitos, is this gemara in Chulin Ches Amud Beis. It's a rich Gemara. We're not here to look at Yaslas, but we're here to look at a different angle. Let's take a look. Itmar. Here we are, six lines from the top. The line begins with the Itmar. Itmar, Shochi b'sakin shel akum. I have a non-Jew's knife. I have a knife from a treifa kitchen. A treifa knife. It's been used for all sorts of tarfas. And I shecht an animal with a knife from a non-Jew's kitchen. So now what? What do I do? So let's assume I did a proper ma'aser shechita. Okay. Whether the knife has treifa blias or not, it can accomplish a proper ma'aser shechita. Assuming the knife is clean and sharpened and so on and so forth. But the question is, okay, so now the animal is not an avela, but maybe it has a blia of tarfus. That's a good question. Why are you always worried about the blood?
You remove the blood?
So the simple answer is that the Rishonim pointed out actually in the sugya. The meat itself has its own blood too. And what do we do with that? The answer is melicha. We're going to have to subsequently do melicha to remove the blood of this meat. So the assumption is if the melicha can remove the blood that started in this meat, if there's any blia of blood that from some other piece of meat via the shechita knife, so the melicha will remove that too. But if there's a tam of tarfus, there's a tam of ham that from the non-Jew's kitchen that got into the knife and now got into the animal, the goat, the cow, the chicken that you just shechted, so the melicha is not going to remove the tam of chazir.
Right.
Let's see what happens. That's a good one. So what's the story? You shecht with a treifa knife. You shecht an animal with a treifa knife. The shechita was a kosher shechita, but the knife is treifa blias. So the Gemara is a machlokas amaram. Early amaram. Rav and Rav of Abrachana. Interesting. Rav of Abrachana was a generation after Rav. Rav of Abrachana was a Talmud of Yechanan. Rav Yochanan and Rav are both first generation Amoraim. They're both Talmid and Rehuda Anasi. They were Talmid and Rehuda Anasi in Eretz Yisrael. That's where Rehuda Anasi lived. Gemara tells one place that Rav Yochanan was a younger Talmid. Remember sitting seven rows back in Rehuda Anasi Shir, and Rav was like the senior Talmud. He was sitting in the front row, and he says there were sparks flying from Rav Yehuda Anasi's mouth to Rav's mouth, Rav's mouth to Rehuda Anasi's mouth. I'm not sure what that means literally, like B'derach Neis. Because of the Otsam HaKadusha, there are literally sparks flying, or it means like the way we would use that as an expression. The sparks, the Lima Torah was such a high level, the sparks were flying, I couldn't even figure out everything that was going on. Either way is beautiful, either way is hey, look. And either way, Rabbi Yochanan is a Talmud of Rabbi Yonasi, but a younger Talmud of Yonasi. Rabbi Yochanan stays in Eretz Yisrael, he becomes the founder of the Amoroi Eretz Yisrael. Rav and Shmuel, who are the older Talmudim, they head off to Bavel. Rav gets smicha. It's a sugya in the beginning of Maseches Sanhedrin. Shmuel does not succeed in getting smicha, even though he's big Talmud Chacham. And Rav and Shmuel head off to Eretz Yisrael, to Bavel rather, to open yeshivas and to begin to raise the level of Limnat Torah Shmiras HaMitzvos in Bavel. Rabbi Yochanan stays in Eretz Yisrael, but he has some Talmidim who travel back and forth. Someone mentioned to me recently, I forget who it was who mentioned to me, if you look at the statistics, the Amora who appears in the Talmud Bavli more than any other, who do you think that is? Who is named more than any other? I guess Rava. Apparently it's Rabbi Yochanan, which is remarkable, being that he never lived in Bavel. But his Talmidim, there is one start, there's a lot of Rabbi Yochanan in Talmud Bavli. Often you hear it's some Talmud b'shem Rabbi Yochanan. One of the Talmidim who traveled back and forth between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel, who conveyed a lot of the Torah of Yochanan to Bavel, is Rav of Abrachana. So here you have Rav and his younger peers, Talmud, Rav Abrachana. They had a machloek in Bavel, it sounds like. What's the story with Shochet B'sak and Shalgoy? Rav says Kolef, and Rav Abrachana says Mediach. Rav says there is a blia into the first klipa, the first layer of the meat, and you have to peel away the first layer of the meat, and the blia, because that's where the first fraction of an inch is going to have the treif of blias. And Rav Chama says, no, mediach, you just have to rinse it off. You rinse off the surface, in case there's any residue, there's any surface residue from the treif of the kitchen that you have to remove, but we're not worried about any blia. And the Gemara goes on to discuss what are they arguing about? So first the Gemara assumes Leib HaKemifligi. Explanation number one is Mar Sover Beis Hashchita Tzonein, Mar Sover Beis Hashchita Roseach. Explanation number one is the question: is it over Yalas Lasbo or Yalas Lasbo? So Rav says it's over, and therefore there's a Bliya. After him the Klipa, and Rav Achana says no, it's below Yalas Lasbo. So it's cold. It's like rubbing something milk because it's something rubbing something trade because something kosher. At the beginning of Simon Tzad Yalav, you just have to wash the surface. So that's the Gemara's first suggestion. And then the Gemara says no. Suggestion number two: everyone agrees that the Beis Hashchita, the spot right where the Shechita occurs, is over Yalas Lasbo. After all, there's a natural body temperature, plus there's going to be added heat because of the friction of the knife going back and forth. So, Man Damar Kolev Shaper. That was then we understand. If it's Beis Chidur Tzech, Rav needs no further explanation. Of course, there is a Bliya. Manar Mediach. So, why does Rav Achana say there is no Bliya? I did the treaty, Simanim La Apuke Dam, Lo Bali. That area, it's not a static area. There's a tremendous outflow of blood. So, it's like trying to drive the wrong side of the highway. There's no way the bleas are getting into the meat. There's a tremendous outflow of blood that sort of impedes the entry of any new blea. And then, I believe that line had come up when Tosis was discussing the question we were talking before, but how does Hagala work? I think at one point they mentioned it, maybe everything's coming out, it's not going in, it's not necessarily though the same. And then the Gemara has a third suggestion. The third suggestion is Punt Faket. Ekeda Amri, maybe everyone agrees based on Shechita Tzonin. So there should not be any Bliya. So Madam Mediach Shabbat, Rav Achana, we understand well. Why does Rav say Kolev? Madam Kolev, Agav, Duchka Disakina, Bala. Maybe, even though it's not hot, but there's so much pressure, that maybe the pressure itself is already driving some Bliya. Interesting. We're going to get back again to Duchka. This is our first time seeing Duchka Disakina. We'll come back to Emirat Hashem. It's in the Maram Kaif, it's in the Tzaybar. Sorry?
Wouldn't you think the reverse? The blood is coming from the kosher animal into the knife. So wouldn't you think the force is coming the blood into the knife, not the knife into the blood?
No, but the knife is pressing. Right? Again, there are three options. One option is we look at this in like any other scenario. If it's hot, there's bliya. If it's cold, there's no bliya. So it's a question of hot or cold. Or you say, this really is a hot case, but maybe the flow of bliya is impeded by the contrary flow of blood. Or you say, this is really a cold case, and you don't have the force of heat driving bliya, but there's a different force driving bliya, and that force is duchat zakina. Because it's not just resting the knife, not just scooping with a spoon, I'm cutting. So the cutting, so that's going to, the physical force is going to drive bleas from the knife into the meat. Correct. Now, just 1 second. So let's think about this Gemara for a moment. So the one thing, okay, good. Okay, so we're talking about the possibility of bleas with knives, okay. But there's something that should strike you. Once you get beyond sort of the big picture into the nitty gritty, what are the two dais? Either there's no blea, Rav Rachana just made the just wash the surface. Or Rav says there is Bliya. How much Bliya? Call it. What did no one say? Said no one ever, the whole animal is trafe. An animal is good, but yeah, the knife will be butt the position to the animal. But let's say you're shechting a pigeon. No, you have a big knife, a big cleaver, you're shechting a pigeon. Can't use a cleaver. You have a big shechita knife, you're shechting a pigeon. It might not be butt the position. So why do we say, why klipa? Anyways, Klipa assumes that's not traveling further. If it's traveling further in Balta Bashishim, so then there should be no Bliya whatsoever. Because the Bliya spreads throughout the whole piece.
Well, maybe if you hold either that you hold it because of the Sakin causing Rosa or the Sakin causing the Duchta of the Sakin is causing the problem, that's maybe not a real heat.
Good.
If it's not a real heat, you can only go so far.
So good. So take a look, Shulchan Aruch. You're actually saying something, I think, even more important than you realize. A part of what you're saying, let's take a look inside Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch is quoting the Torah. He's quoting the Smak. Basar Sif Zayin. Basar Oseya, Shechasachab, Sakin Choleves. That piece of meat, I cut it, I slice it. I cleave it, what have you, with a milchus knife. Kol ha-chaticha asura, the entire piece of meat is going to become treif, unless you have a tzad laka, unless you have a factor that saves you. In main bashishim, keneged makam asaka. If you don't have shishim, if you have shishim, it's impossible shishim. But if you don't, if the piece of meat is not 60 times as voluminous as the blade,
we evaluate the entire blade.
Yeah. Okay. Good. So that goes back to the question. The smock says the entire blade.
It's about the blade. It's not about the size.
That goes back to the question earlier. Can you say Aleph? Do you say Cham Iksasa Cham Kula by metal or not? So you have to figure out. Or I also don't know. The Shulchan Aruch said Makam Asakin. Makam Asakin Shechat Chabasa. Shulchan Aruch is assuming Lashitasa. We don't assume Cham Iksasa Cham Kula. But one second. Let's not get sidelined by details just yet. Even though we are awash in a sea of details, but let's first focus on the central, the details that form the axis of this. So Shulchan Aruch says if you own a shishim, the whole piece of meat is treif. The whole piece of meat is treif. Why not say a klipa? Why not say a klipa? So you take a little of the beer agra, the beer agra is Masara things well, and he quotes very bekitzer. This is a much longer conversation you'll find in the smock and in the Beis Yosef here. The agra gives it to you packaged neatly. The sifkan chav beis with the square brackets, the standard notation for the gra. Basar oseach, the lo kray benu baruch shekasef the dai beklipa. He says shacharif is not following benu baruch baal truma. He said a klipa. Now that fits well with the gemara of chul nafres. The bliya should be kedai klipa. By the way, that's lahakal and lahachmir. In other words, on the one hand, the rest of the meat beyond the klipa is not vulnerable. On the other hand, you never be able to, even if there is shishim, it's not going to help you for the klipa. Okay. And maybe Rai Rabbeinu Baruch had brought a Rai from Parakama. Here, the Gemara just saw it. Saklan shal nachrim kolev. Lechad lishna mishim basta beis hashchitur oseach. And that's according to two lishonos. According to two of the three lishonos is because of beis hashchitur oseach. Either that's what Rav holds, that's what Evan holds. The third sheet, the third lashon, had said nothing to do with the heat. It had to do with the duchas sakina. That's not necessarily relevant here. If you use either the first two lashonos in the Gemara, beis hashchitur oseach is only kidei klipa. Now, Biagra says shacharif is not following Ben Baruch, despite the fact that Ben Baruch had a harp affair in Gemara. So what's the Shulchan Aruch following? The shacharif is following the tour who quoted the smak. The dacha b'smak, the Rikurvel in his Sefer Mitzvah Katzar, had been docha the Reino Baruch. The Sham Eino Roseach Kiim Klipa Smuchel Makam Achitoch Beis Hashchita. The smak makes the point in the smak has a lot to say. The point in the smak, the Gra quotes is essentially what Eric just said, which is. Over here, we're dealing with a hot piece of meat. I had a piece of meat. I roasted it. I grilled it. I cooked it. Whatever. And now it's on the cutting board, and I sliced this hot piece of meat with a milchik knife. But over there, where's the heat coming from? The animal. It's alive. Until moments ago, it was a live animal. The animal wasn't hot. The beis hashchita was hot. The beis hashchita was hot because you have the natural body temperature, and then it gets raised a little bit by the friction of the knife. So we're only talking about Beis HaShechita, not about the whole animal. So that's your point. The flavor is only going to travel for as far as the meat is hot. The meat's only the first layer that's hot. That's what the smak says. If the whole piece of meat was hot, then of course you would spread through the whole piece of meat unless you have shishim. That's so that's to think about this a little more, this position. The smog makes a very strong point. The machlok is whether Beis HaShechita is Roseach or Tzonein, not whether the animal is Roseach or Tzonein. Taka was a Beinu Baruch even thinking. What was Beinu Baruch even thinking? Now that he stopped to think about it. Such a sharp point. No pun intended. It's hard to think of an adjective that will not be a further pun. But it's a very insightful. That's good. It's incontrovertible. How do you even disagree with it? Like, well, how How do you understand Ben Abara? Once the smock makes his point that, of course, that Gemara is different because it's only the first Kedek Klipa that's hot. Where is the Ben Abara even coming from? I'll tell you where Ben Abara is coming from. Ben Abara is l'chaor rooted in an awareness that we did see already earlier in Siman Sadi Aleph, comes up later in Taruvus and Siman Kuf Hei, and that is based on a couple of Gemaras, among them Chum Daf Sadi Vav, that it's not always true that Bliya Bekulo. There are some types of blias that only go the first klipa. So the Gemara Daf Ches just said that Duchu the Sakina is only going to go the klipa. Okay. And then this came up in Daf Sadi Vav. In terms, it came up a few places. We had in Siman Sadi Alv by Maliach that when the driver of Blia is neither heat nor duchis akina, but the saltiness, there's only mavliya kedek lipa. Unless the food is very fatty. It's very fatty, so then the shumra is mefapea, the fat, the grease, is going to spread the blia further. But if it's not particularly fatty food, so then the maliach only pushes the flavor in the first kedek klipa. We had such an idea by Chamo Toch Tzorin, the Sugim Sachim, Abilah Gavar, also in Simin Tzari Alv, and Daf Tzari Vav in Chulim. This did not get quoted, I don't think, officially in the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Bas Bechal, but it is in Simin Kufei, which is the Simin in Tarovis, dedicated to the core issues of Tam Kikr, based on a Gemara in the 7th Berak of Chulim. Sadivav. The Mishnah, this is the primary Mishnah of Tam Ke'ikr in Parag Gidon Asher. Yerakshas Bashba Gidon Asher. Sadivav and Beis. You're supposed to remove the Gidon Asher from the thigh of the animal. If you forgot the treber and instead you cooked it whole and with the Gidon Asher still in, not bone in, but Gidon Asher in, Yesh Bono Sentamer is Asur. You have to figure out if you're shishim. If you don't have shishim, then the gelosh has trafed up the whole piece of meat. So the Gemara, that's the beginning of the Mishnah. So the Gemara opens the bottom of Tzayv Avam Beis. Amar Shmuel, Losh Olosh is Bashal Ba. It's true that the flavor spreads evenly if you cooked it, liquid. But Nitzlah Ba, if you grilled, if you roasted the meat, they roasted the thigh with the Gid Anash Estalin. So then just kol if Yochal Shmegi El Gid. And you can peel up until you get to the Gid. It doesn't spread throughout.
Oh,
so what does that mean? It says interesting language, you peel away. You just say, eat the meat, don't eat the gid. So apparently, the Rishonim point that Tosis, second to last Tosis, points out, we don't mean literally, lavdaf gad shemegi legid mamish, we don't mean that all the meat is mutter. Number one, isn't there something? It's clear there's some belia, and you wouldn't say kol of yocha, you just say eat the meat and throw away the ganasha. So obviously it means you're peeling away, you're getting close, but you're leaving the last bit. Presumably a kedei klipa, or Tosa says maybe a little more. Tzar shinech kedei klipa, some of you have to leave the last klipa around the gid, or maybe even kedei natila tzar shinech. Maybe you have to a little more kedei natila. Kedei natila is around an inch. The width of an aguzel, the width of a thumb. So that does not appear explicitly earlier in Siman Tzadi Aleph, but does appear explicitly in Siman Kuf Hei in Taruvus, Kuf Hei Sif Dalet. So that distinction between Bishol and Sli, that when you're dealing with in the pot with the liquids, and the flavor is going to spread evenly. Remember, we had this discussion also and Daf Kuches and Tipos Chalav, they spread to the one piece of meat, to all the pieces of meat, at the very least they spread to the whole one piece of meat when you're inside a pot. But if it's Tzali, if it's out in the open and dry heat in the air, so then it's going to, in principle, only spread to the first layer, the first Kedei Klipa, maybe a little more, the first Kedei Natila, that's the Safek and Tosis. The Gemara there also goes on to say, well, but if there's that's the source. If it's a very fatty piece of meat, there's a lot of chaylev. So if you deal with a high fat situation, so then the fat is gonna be a medium that will push the bliya all throughout the whole piece of meat. But if it's tzli not bishul, and it's not shamein, it does not, it's not nivla v'kulo. The tam is not mifape. The tam does not spread the whole thing. It just goes in the first little layer. So that's l'chora what Rabbi Baruch is thinking. So we begin to understand. Rabbi Baruch says, no, we're playing by the rules here. Yet again, and remember, that's how he opened. What's different about Sif Zayin from the first six Sifim is that we're out of the pot. We're out of the pot. Now we're just a hot piece of meat. A hot piece of meat. I don't have any liquid. I'm cutting it with a milchik knife. So that Rabbeinu Baruch makes a good point. It's not just a question of Daf Chesam and Beis, Kolev. Yes, smock pushed back. Okay, but there it's different because it's only the first klipa that's hot. How about the general din of the tchiluk between Sli and Bishul? So that's a strong point. The Shach explains how we... So now we're back to say we understand Ben Baruch, Nataka, why does Shulchan follow Smach? What is Smach thinking? So the Shach explains how we do say like the Smach. The beginning of Sif, Katan, Chaf, Zayin, the Shach here says... Here. Afal gavdil kamen simin kufei siv dalit kasva turah mechabem nafal yisrael chaticha shebekadei reshuchot zerotev sagi benetila. If it's a tzli situation or the equivalent of a tzli situation, it's not nivla bekulo. Again, that takes us back also to simin sari beitz and daf kuches tipas chal v'rashi taisus. Yeshlo so taka. Why here is it bekulo? Now, Lamasa Ashkenazim are often very concerned. We're not sure whether we rarely will be Makel. We're usually treated as a suffix, whether it's Kedek Klipa or Kulo. It'll be Machmer both directions. Kedek Klipa is always Aser, and it'll be Kulo Aser if it's not both regions. Because we're very concerned, it's one of the cases where Ashkenazim have a worry that we're not sure where to draw the line. We're not Bekiim. Just like you have the we're not Bekiim and where to draw the line with the five reds, let's say in Hilchos Nida. So you have a much broader array of colors that we're concerned with. We're not sure where they're aligned in terms of shamin. How shamin is shamin? Ain't no bikim. Unless you're dealing with matzah, maybe you're dealing with matzah. We're pretty sure there's no shamanus there at all. But generally we say we're not sure whether it's shamin or not. But that doesn't sound like what the Shulchan Aruch is saying. So the Shach says no. It's more than that. Ishlamer, the shiny hacha, the agav ducha, the sakina mispashi bekulo. Ooh. He says it's a double whammy. It's heat and duchah de sakina. If it would just be a piece of hot tray for meat falls on a piece of hot kasher meat, but it's a dry situation, it's tzlina bishol, and it's not shamin, then we just nivla bikadei klipa, bikadei netila. Okay. But here, it's a combination of both. It's heat and duchah de sakina. That's why... It's mispashet v'kulo. And that also explains, by the way, take a look at Sif Ches. Sif, we'll come back to the rest of Sif Zayin momentarily, but take a look at Sif Ches. Im nafa latanur panads gavina. I have some sort of cheese Danish, or cheese calzone, falls onto the stovetop. I feel a lacha, even if it's moist. Or gavina chamad bekairas baser basyamo. Hot cheese on a benyomo fleshik plate. Eino ozer elika de klipa. It's only a klipa. Why only a klipa? We just said in Siv Zayin that the hot meat with a milchik knife is mispashi bekulo. Here we're saying it's only a de klipa. The answer is, Shach says, that's the difference. Because if it's just the heat alone, but it's out of a pot, that's sli, it's not bishul. We're going to say it's just kedei klipa, kedei netila. But if it's heat plus duchah de sakina, have a combination of two different forces driving the flavor, that's why in Siv Zayin it is mispashet bekulo. If it was just heat, so that's what you see here. It says kedei klipa. Sometimes if it will say kedei netila, like in Simen Kofei. If it's just duchka, without the heat, that's simen sarivav. You only say it's not mispashet bekulo al pi pashas. We'll have to get to more details in Siman Sarivav. So that's the big picture. Let's wrap up a few more details.
Just have a question.
Sure.
How does Klisheni fit into this?
Perfect segue. That's where we're going.
I mean, because if this meat is considered a Klisheni, right? We spoke about how Blios spread in Klisheni.
Yeah. So that's coming up very soon. That's coming up with the Ramah. Let's finish our Shulchan Aruch.
Okay.
The Ramah is going to raise it. So the Shulchan Aruch goes on to say, let's start here from the top. We left out the second half of the Mechaber.
So why do you have your exclusions of? I understand the Beis Shishim because Beis Shishim bottles everything, but why do you have the exclusion of maybe Ben Yomo, maybe not?
So let's take a look. Good. That's where we're going right now.
I thought I was going to go.
So let's start again from the top. Bazar Roseh Shechasach Sivzain. Bazar Roseh Shechasach B'sak Mechaleves Kolachaticha Asura and Ein Bashishim Kenegin Makam Hasak and Shechatach Habasa. Okay? So the one kula we'll give you is we don't say Chamek Sasacham Kulo. We just look at the part of the knife that well, if it's still dirty, you can see which part of the knife touched the meat. So Cheshbin, the volume of that part of the blade, vis-a-vis the volume of the piece of meat. If you have shishim, so the meat is safe. If you don't have shishim, so then the whole piece of meat, kol achaticha asura. Why? Because again, as the Shach said, you have a combination of heat and duchas sakina. So the tam chav is bashi bekulo. If you don't have shishim, so then the meat's all safe. But if any ben yomo, so then you're safe. If any ben yomo, if any odeya shu ben yomo. But the Shulchan Aruch says, well, it's a ben yomo. If it's not a ben yomo, so then it's not going to make treif. Or even if you're not sure if it's a ben yomo, you have the right to assume that stam kalim or lav ben yomo. We're working on that assumption. If you have to figure out whether this man is there, that's still the case or not. Maybe the way it could be that we do a lot more food prep than the old days. We have a lot more food. We're much more affluent, a lot more food. You have to figure out if that factual assumption that Tom Kalem and Alab and Yaman, it may still be the case because we also have many more Kalem. So a whole drawer full of spoons, a whole drawer full of forks. So,
a lot of times that we're using it in between is
Paro. Right. And also we have refrigerators, so we can sometimes do a lot of advanced food preps. So Shulchan Aruch is working on the assumption that if you're Mesupik, whether it's Ben Yomo or Ein Ben Yomo, and you can't figure it out, so you'll assume Ein Ben Yomo. So if it's Vade Ein Ben Yomo, or assumed to be Ein Ben Yomo, so, okay, it's Ein Ben Yomo. Then he says, well, it's Ein Osek De Klipa, which is a little surprising.
Right, you would think it was
Mutter. Yeah, Hetzer Gomer. So the Shach explains, there's a long Sivka and Chavtes, that he essentially says that with the knives were, this was an assumption that may no longer be true. We came across this in this sugya, which we're coming back to, Mr. Shem and Simon Sarivav, the sugya Kofi Rav, Kofi Beis, with a nap or not, so a spoon, a pot, we assume is clean. But a knife, traditionally, you cannot assume that knife had a clean surface, because before running hot water and modern sponges and modern detergents, you know, again, your knife, and before modern metallurgy, which makes it very easy to have entirely smooth surface knives, back in the days when knives didn't necessarily have totally smooth surfaces, and dishwashing was a much more primitive art, so you couldn't assume that the knife blades in particular, where you want to make sure that you don't cut your fingers, you can't necessarily assume that the knife blade is so sparkling clean. So that's why...
So what do we think? So there's shamnunis, so there's ban, so...
There's a little bit of ban.
And therefore it's not nosing time of kam.
Yeah, right. No style of gum is only whatever is nivla, but so surface...
Yeah, that's the opposite question. Why not the whole thing is awesome?
Yeah. Well, the whole thing, that's a good question. So that's what the Shach points out, based on the Sugim Sachim, you're dealing with a tiny drop of how much shamnunis do you have? It's a thin film on the surface of the knife. Maybe there isn't shishim in the piece of meat against the whole volume of the blade. So if you're talking about blias, then you have to think of a whole volume of the blade. If you're just worried about the blade is kosher, just maybe there's a thin film of tarfus. So that's for sure about the bashishim. Narvas, we're worried about maybe it's just nivla, the first kedei klipa. And he points out that's the sugya in Psachim Daf Ayin Vav. So that's what's in a chanami. If it's in a ben yomo, and it was bizman hazeh, we're not worried about shamnunis karish al asak. In bizman hazeh, it's very easy for us to get clean knives, and we assume that our knives are clean. So bizman hazeh, if you cut a hot piece of meat with an ein ben yomo milchik knife, the meat is heter gamur. The knife has to be kasher.
So you don't have to worry do clay klipa, but you're saying
no, because we're not worried about the shamnunis. There is no, the metzias is different. I know that my knife doesn't have shamnunis. A typical modern kitchen. I know that my knife is sparkling clean. Because we do have running out water, we do have sponges, and we do have good detergent, and our knives are smooth. So for all those reasons, the metzias is different. And then the Ramah comes to Jeremy's point. Calls it basur seif and kli rishon. Oh, zim asakin ben yomo, ve'in shishin be'basur, and egan asakin kolasur. Not only is it only an issue if I don't have shishim and it's a ben yomo, you also need that the meat is basla roser bikli rishon.
So what does it
mean? Let's say right.
The bocce grill.
Right. I have a pan. I have a pan, either a frying pan or I have the pan that I put it in the oven in the pan. I take it out. It's still sitting in the pan on the pan in which it had been heated. And then the knife is going to need to be kasha. The meat's going to be also, the knife has to be kasha. Okay. In klisheni, Rama writes, then a basar tzar klipa. Once again, klisheni, basar still needs klipa, just like a knife is ben yomo, because again, bizmanam, they're worried about the shamnunis that's be'en al hasakin. A hasakin needs ni'itza be'karka. Ni'itza be'karka is interesting. That's from the very, very, very last Gemara. The very last Gemara in Masechas of Avodah Zarah points, that's actually in the next Tadamar Mukamas, that was the way to clean knives back in the old days, the way to effectively clean knives without risking your fingers was to drive it 10 times into hard packed soil. That's not a way of kosher. The Gemara is clear. That doesn't remove blias, but that does, it's steel wool.
It's part of the duchik of the sakina as well.
Yeah, okay, guys, so duchas sakina lahat lakel.
Why, according to the Ramah, if it's kli rishon, is it anything more than the Machaber said ketei klipa? What's the reason if it's more than ketei klipa still?
The Machaber said the whole thing.
What do you mean?
No, the Ramah is saying it's hakol is also, the whole
right.
Is also.
That's what the Ramah, that's Shachar Shachar said also. If it's the owner of Shishim and it's a ben yomo, and every kolachaticha asura. If it's ena ben yomo, then you only need kli rishon. Here also he says, if it's kli rishon, you need hakala asura. If it's a kli sheni, so then the kli rishon.
The machlokas of kli rishon kli sheni by
Dover Gush. Oh, beautiful, beautiful. So that's the shach is right here. The shach points out the Ramah that we take this. We've heard this before. There's no the Ramah paskins like those rishonim who say that there's no blia by a kli sheni. So the Shach says, whoa, this could be an exception. The Marshal, Yamshal Shlomo, has this idea that the whole differentiation between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni is when you have liquid that shapes itself to the pot wall. So if you put it into a Kli Sheni, as Tosfos says in Masechta Shabbos, Defanos Makaros. So you have a hot liquid in a cold Kli, so that it's going to begin to cool down the liquid. Even if, I would say, the way I was thinking about it, even if right now it's still Yatsalatus bow, but the first derivative of the temperature is negative. It's hot but dropping. So that already gets in the way of Bishul and even of Belia. But the Marshal says, yeah, that's if you have a liquid or you have a something liquidy. You just have a Dover Gush, you just have a block, a piece of meat, a piece of cheese. Let's leave the cheese alone because cheese, when it gets hot, may not be gush. A hot piece of meat. So he says, what does it matter? You move the hot piece of meat from the pan to the plate. So the bottom of the meat is touching the cool plate. But the rest of the meat is not in contact with anything. Now, again, okay, but on the other hand, the bottom of the meat is touching the cold plate. So the Ramah says, we don't differentiate. Davar Gush also yields to kli sheni. Marshall says no, and the Shach mentions that, and the Shach is, he says, yeah, this is, he says, I know the Ramah doesn't hold like the Marshall, but this is Machlokas Ramah Marshall. Is there a din of kli sheni by Davar Gush or not? The interesting Pischei Tshuva, Sif Katan Zayin, he says, okay, so that's why if you had a piece of meat with gravy and you poured it, the meat with the gravy into kli sheni, so then azmiskar gama basar, because the rotev is, if it's in liquid and the liquid is going to be cooling down, so it's going to bring the meat down also. I think it was a very fascinating chasam sofer, half of which he doesn't like. Chasam sofer in the brackets. Chasam sofer says, well, there's not that much nafkamina because anu regilim lahachmir b'kol akin afil kli sheni, kli shlishi. We don't follow this cool of the Rama. At the end, Pesach Shua says, he says, I'm not sure what he's talking about. Mashikasav, at the end of the Pesach Shua, Sivkan Zayin. Mashikasav, the honor of giving lahachim v'kala keilim, fil klishish v'chuli, hamorim shalanu, our poskim, ein ogim ken. No, sorry, we are by a liquidy food, we assume that klisheni is not mavliya. However, it sounds like open to at least be machmir like the marshal on the one hand, the davar gush, we should treat it as a kli rishon even if you moved it to a plate. On the other hand, the chasam sofer does say halfway through the sif, in my print is the end of the first column, that when it's a hefsin meruba, dina called tatzdakai, when you deal with a major loss, this is all your Shabbos food for Shabbos, or it's the amount of loss is very severe relative to the budget of this family. Then it's appropriate, in that situation, appropriate to look for the Shitos HaMekilos, so then we would Kedai HaRamah L'smochalov. When it's a Tzara Gadol, so then we're going to treat it as a klisheni, even though it's a Davar Gush, but under normal circumstances, it isn't a Tzara Gadol, we would not follow this Ramah, and we would say, even though you transfer the hot meat onto the cutting board, and you're cutting on a proper cutting board, not in the pan, we would still say that it's a Davar Gush, and therefore, if it's still Yasu L'Esbo, it's the same as Kli Rishon. It is Mavliya. So if the meat is not Shish Mekonega, the knife, and the knife is the Ben Yomo, then you just trafed up your entire piece of meat. Sivches we spoke about. That was without Ducha de Sakina, and therefore it's not Bolea Bekulo. And finally, we wrap up with Sif Tes. A scenario, it's a Mordechai. This does not appear in the Torah, but the Beis Yosef quotes this from the Mordechai. Bishlu dvash b'machava shal basar bas yomo. So here you cooked, you heated honey, you boiled honey instead of in the parva pot, you boiled honey in a fleshika pot, fleshika pan, ben yomo, and then you poured it hot into a milchik bowl. From the hot honey from the fleshika pan into the milchik bowl. Rikucham b'kayra shal chav bas yomo, mutter. That's fine. Why is it fine?
What's mutter? The kli or the gush?
Everything's mutter. Wow. Everything's mutter. Everything's mutter. Why is everything mutter? So the truth, you look in the Shach says, if you look back at the Mordechai, the Beis Yosef quoted, or you look at the Mordechai himself, in other words, look, Avodah Zarah, Pesachim, but Mordechai Shem B'din Zeh, he writes, the Taz also, Taz and Shach both point out, that this comes to the Mordechai. So they tell you that the Mordechai says the reason is because the shamnunis is no sin tam lefgam. He says when you cook honey in a fleshika pan, that flavor does nothing good for honey. Meat flavor will enhance the taste of many foods, and it'll enhance vegetables. But meat flavor does not enhance honey. Honey is very specific.
It's no sin tam
lefgam. Even though it's the ben yomo, it was still no sin tam lefgam. Because in honey, it's no sin tam lefgam. That's what the Mordechai says.
It's like the people who have the bacon's tasting
what do you mean?
Parv ice cream never tastes good.
Good. So the Shach goes on to say, oh, but the Beis Yosef quotes it, and he says, well, I need no stam of gam. Forget about it. I don't care what it was. It's a napa, even if it's some other foods. Napa not that terah.
Isn't that what Shulchan Aruch
said? And that's what Shulchan Aruch said, because that's what he wrote in the Beis Yosef. Now the Taz points out sharply. Now, the Shach says, well, the nafkamina, what the Mordechai said, is let's say it wasn't a flesh kapat. Let's say you had a piece of meat. A piece of meat, you boil in honey, and a piece of meat fell in. So the Shach points out, according to the Mordechai, scoop out the meat, and the honey's parif. Because any flesh of flavor is not the time of gam, so ki'ilu eino. The Taz points out, the reason why the Mordechai didn't say what the Beis Yosef said, not only because, as the Shach points out, this is in a certain sense stronger, it's stronger if the meat itself falls in, but it's weaker in terms of something other than honey. He says, yeah, the Mechaber says, not benat the Torah, because the Mechaber in Simen Sadehei, this wood bridge us to Simen Sadehei, we already learned Simen Sadehei, the Mechaber in Simen Sadehei paskins against the Rivan. The not benat the Torah is all heter gamar. But the Mordechai does not, that's the top line. The Mordechai doesn't hold that way. The Mordechai is worried about the Rivan type thinking. That just because this is mashlu, this is not alu, this is mamish. You cooked, that was the case. You boiled the honey in the flesh of kapan. So according to Rivan, that's not naparat. So that's why the Mordechai needed a different solution. His solution was, but it's honey. If it would have been vegetables, it would have been a problem. If it would have been water, it would have been a problem. But it's honey, so naparat, no snam of gam. The Mechaber, Lishitoso, Mechaber does not follow Rivan. The Mechaber says, Napanat Teir is Hatagam. The same way he's going to say in the very next Sif, Simon Sadeh Sif Alf. So,
honey is a unique.
Mordechai is saying something unique about honey.
Honey is unique.
Right. And again, as you put together the Taz and the Shach, each rationale for this Heter has its own advantage. The Mordechai's rationale, number one, works even if you hold like even fresh Ashkenaz or Machmas Rivan, and works even if you mamash had a the end of meat in the honey. On the other hand, if you accept the position of the Shulchan Aruch, the Napanate Teira is Heter Gamer, even if in this Bashlu, as he's going to say in Simen Sadeh, then that's going to cover not only honey, but any liquid. He probably means bees honey. I think he means bees honey. Yeah, the Mordechai did not have dates. The Mordechai lived in Germany. They definitely had bees. They definitely did not have dates. Okay, Chavri Yashikayach. Hadron Allah Simen Sadidalad. They have the Mar Makav Simen Sadivav. The Mar Makav Simen Sadivav are covered the whole Simen together. Simen Sadivav breaks down to 5 Se'ifim, but it's ultimately one big sugya. There's one core Gemara. We were just shoulder to shoulder with it earlier this evening, Kofi Dal, Kofi Beis. But then there's a sugya or two in Avodah Zarah, and they're going back to the sugya we saw in the Chulin, and we showed them very rich. A good Tanakh, Yashakach.
We pass me like that,
basically, too. I believe so, yeah. That we are Machmir for Davar Gush, yeah. But on the other hand, we are Mekel on a regular
future. Is that a Shaila? I feel like that.